Ever feel like you're standing there at the bottom of a mountain just staring up at this massive project? You know that feeling, right? It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
But the thing is, even the biggest, most daunting task, it becomes way more manageable when we, when we break it down into smaller steps.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the whole idea behind functional decomposition, right?
Yeah.
It's a technique that's actually been around for a while, has its roots in systems engineering, like mid-20th century. Think, designing those really complex systems like airplanes and spaceships.
Wow.
But the thing is, it's not just for, rocket science. It's applicable to anything that's complex. So whether that's software development, project management, heck, even planning your next vacation.
Right. It's like that saying, how do you eat an elephant?
Rogue,
One
yeah.
bite at a
Okay.
time. Exactly. One bite at a time. So we're talking about taking these big, complicated things, these projects, these ideas, and breaking them down into smaller, more manageable pieces. And that's exactly what we're diving into today, functional decomposition. We've got some really interesting articles to help guide us. One from September 28th of this year. It's called A Functional Decomposition Technique Guide for Business Analysts.
Okay.
And another from August 25th. What do business development managers do on a daily basis? And we'll kind of see how those two fields, they're not as different as you might think as we go.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this whole concept is that it's something that's already ingrained in the way a lot of us approach problems, right? And think about a doctor, trying to diagnose an illness. They don't just look at the symptoms and go, okay, this is what it is.
Right.
They break the problem down, they start examining different systems, running tests to figure out what's the root cause here, what's actually going on. And functional decomposition is really just taking that same kind of investigative approach and applying it to any system or process that's complex.
That's like having X-ray vision, but for opportunity,
Yeah,
right?
especially in a field like business development. So imagine you're trying to, I don't know, break into a new market. Functional decomposition can help you analyze your competition, what are customer needs, what's the regulatory landscape look like. It's about getting that granular understanding so you can start making more strategic decisions. Exactly. And it's that granular understanding where we really start to unlock the power of this whole technique because it allows us to take those really intricate, complex things and suddenly they become manageable, right? We shift our perspective from, oh my gosh, I'm totally overwhelmed, to feeling empowered because we can actually wrap our heads around what's going on.
Absolutely. So let's unpack what this actually looks like in practice. The Functional Decomposition Technique Guide, it lays out some of the basics, right? It talks about dissecting a system or a process, really anything that has, multiple moving parts.
Right.
And then from there, identifying those core functions.
Yeah, it's like think of it like taking apart a clock to see how all those gears and springs work
Right, I
together.
like that.
Yeah, you got all these different pieces, and each one plays a very specific role in making sure the whole thing functions properly.
Yeah, I love that analogy. And the article, it actually had another one I thought was really interesting. They said, imagine a business analyst, kind of diving into this complex problem. And it's like taking those, they use the term big hairy issues and breaking them down into these bite-sized pieces,
Right.
something you can actually wrap your head around. And that kind of brings us to one of the key benefits here, which is improved communication.
Absolutely, yeah, because when everyone's working from, that same blueprint,
Yeah.
using the same vocabulary to describe these parts and how they interact, there's a lot less room for misunderstanding.
Right.
And functional decomposition, in that sense, becomes kind of a common language for collaboration.
And that shared language, that's crucial for effective risk assessment too, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. If you've taken the time to really break a system down into its fundamental components, you're much more likely to spot those potential bottlenecks, the
Yeah.
points of failure. It's like, checking each ingredient for allergies before you bake a cake.
Right.
Much better to be safe than sorry.
Exactly. Now, before we kind of dive into the nitty-gritty of how to actually do functional decomposition, I kind of want to talk about some of the visual tools that can be really helpful. Have you ever seen a hierarchy chart or a flow chart?
Yeah, definitely. Those are super helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like visual roadmaps, right?
Yeah.
For understanding complex processes.
Exactly. They can really help you visualize how everything fits together. But the key thing to remember is these diagrams, they're our friends, not our enemies.
Right.
They're simply tools to help us visualize the information and make it easier to understand. So we've got these diagrams, these maps, but what exactly are we breaking down? This is where we get into the, I don't know, the nuts and bolts of it all, but stick with me because this is where I think it gets really interesting. We've talked about the what now, how do we actually break down these functions to like really understand the inner workings?
Well, this is where we start talking about the subjects of functional decomposition. So the functions themselves, obviously, but also the tasks within them, the inputs and the outputs. Think of it this way. To really understand how a machine works, you need to know its parts, right?
Okay.
What makes it tick?
Okay, so let's break that down a little bit further then. We keep using this word function. What exactly does it mean in this context?
It's basically the what of the system, the big picture actions that it performs, like verbs in a sentence.
Okay.
So in our business development example, a function might be something like acquire new customers or launch a new product.
Got it. So if functions are the verbs, then tasks are the adverbs. No, wait. That's not
it. Yes, that's address. Close. More like the objects of those verbs, the specific actions that actually make up the function. So to acquire new customers, you might have tasks like identify target market or develop marketing campaign, qualify leads, that sort of thing. Each of those tasks is a piece of the puzzle, right?
Okay.
Contributes to that overall function.
And each of those could be broken down even further if you needed to, right?
Exactly. That's where the concept of levels comes in. It's like zooming in and out on a map, you know?
So the more you zoom in, the more detailed the picture gets.
Right, exactly.
That makes sense. I mean, you wouldn't like start planning a presentation by choosing what font you're going to use, right? You'd start with your main message and kind of go from there.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You choose the level of detail based on what your objective is. So let's say you're launching a new product, right?
Yeah.
Perfect example, actually, from that business development article we talked about earlier.
Right.
So level one might be that overall launch, right?
Yeah.
Level two could break that down into, say, marketing, production, and sales. Then you get to level three, and now you're talking about the specifics of ECH of those.
Yeah.
Like, you know, social media campaigns under marketing or manufacturing logistics under production and so on.
Okay. I'm starting to really see how this all kind of fits together, but it's not just about the actions, right? There's also what goes into each step and what comes out.
You got it. Every function, it needs some kind of input to get started.
Yeah.
It could be data, resources, instructions, and then it produces an output. Now, that output could be a tangible thing, you know, like a product.
Yeah.
Or it could be something less tangible, like a decision or a change in status, really anything. But understanding those inputs and outputs is what allows you to actually map the flow of information and resources through that entire system.
That's a really good point, actually. But let's be real, no tool is perfect, right? I mean, even the Swiss Army knife of business techniques has to have a few downsides, doesn't it? What are some of the limitations of functional decomposition that, you know, we should maybe be aware of?
Oh, for sure. It's not a magic bullet by any means. I think one potential pitfall is that it's easy to overcomplicate things. You can get so focused on breaking everything down that you end up with a system that's more complex than what you started with.
Yeah, it's like that saying, can't see the forest for the trees.
Exactly. And another risk is getting too narrowly focused, you know? When you're really down in the weeds, like dissecting a single function, it's easy to lose sight of the bigger picture. Like, what are the overall goals here? How does everything connect?
So balance is key.
Mm.
You need to be able to, like, zoom in and really analyze those individual parts, but without losing sight of that bigger picture. Kind of like, what are those Russian nesting dolls?
Oh, yeah.
Where each layer has, like, you know, its own significance.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And that actually brings us to another important point, which is that functional decomposition, it often relies on assumptions.
Right.
We're making educated guesses about how things work, how these different functions interact with each other.
Which is fine, I think, as long as we're acknowledging those assumptions, right? And if we find out later on that maybe they weren't quite right, we're open to revising our thinking.
Precisely. It's about being iterative and adaptable as you go.
Well, we've definitely covered a lot of ground today, from, you know, the history of functional decomposition to the actual nuts and bolts of how it works, and even, you know, talked about some of those potential downsides to watch out for.
It's a really powerful tool for understanding and managing complexity. And I think, as we've seen, you can apply it to, like, so many different fields and industries. It's not just this one little thing.
Absolutely. But okay, here's the question I always like to come back to. How can our listeners actually use this? Like, we don't want this to just be another, you know, episode you listen to and then forget about 5 minutes later.
Right. It's got to be actionable.
Yeah.
And I think it starts with taking a look at your own life, your own work, and just identifying areas where maybe a more structured approach could make a difference, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, what's a project that you're facing right now that seems, I don't know, daunting, overwhelming in scope? And how could you use the stuff that we've talked about today to, you know, maybe break that down into something more manageable?
Right. So like, instead of just staring up at that mountain, like feeling totally overwhelmed, we're trying to give you the tools, the techniques to actually map out a path to the summit.
Exactly. And remember, it's iterative. You don't have to have all the answers right away. Start with those main functions, break them down into tasks. Think about those inputs and outputs we talked about. And don't be afraid to get visual. I mean, a lot of people, they're visual learners, right? So sketch out a hierarchy chart maybe, or create a flow chart. Heck, even just writing out a list, that can make a huge difference in terms of getting that clarity.
That's so true.
Just visualizing the process, even if it's simple, it can really help you unlock those insights and identify bottlenecks, see where you could improve things.
Exactly. And as you actually start putting these ideas into practice, pay attention to what works and what doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
Be open to adjusting your approach, refining your thinking, because I think that's how we really master any tool, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's by actually applying it, experimenting with it, you know, making it our own. And I think that's what we've really tried to do today, is just give you a taste of what's possible with functional decomposition. So now it's really up to you to kind of take these concepts, see how they resonate in your own world, and who knows? You might just surprise yourself with the insights that you uncover.